VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
He's back.
Not happy about it, but I am.
Tanned, rested, ready to go, and irritated.
Yep, all of the above.
So, in case anybody wants to know anything about how the weather and surfing is in Costa Rica in late June and early July, you already just heard it.
Yeah, and you can call the show and ask, too. I'm happy to talk about that if that's what you'd like to hear about.
Well, it's still further than I care to go, but if you're into that thing, apparently pretty nice. The pictures were nice. Anyway, again, here we are, as always. And again, I'd like to thank Marshall Gallup for helping me out last week and get into that topic that we like so much and I will be following up on periodically over the year with the reverse mortgages and the changes in the system, some of which have been negative. Now they're starting to turn positive again. And as these changes are made and as the product develops and as financial planning is being developed, they have become a very integral part of your long-term retirement planning. And I think people would be really, really surprised at how useful that tool can be. As we discussed last week, people have a very negative reaction to it. And Marshall and Adam and I are going to spend a lot of time over the years trying to dispel people of those notions.
Yeah, I actually listened to the show from Costa Rica last week. And, it's always such a great topic because you're right. It has such a negative reputation in the industry. But when used in the right situation, it is such a powerful planning tool. And it happens so often that people have one asset that's worth a ton of money and they really don't have much else. And what do you do?
As I said last week, you may be or you may know someone who is, and you have probably called someone house poor.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a cure for house poorness.
Yep.
And, I might.
And there a lot of what is said about the negative things that are said about the product is just simply not true, that they'll take your home and all of that. The same rules apply to a conventional mortgage. If you don't pay that or you don't pay your taxes, they're going to take your home. So really no difference in that regard. And I don't know how it got that bad rep, but it does.
They got off to a rocky start. It was their own fault.
I think they didn't do a great job of introducing
It's like insurance and annuities. Most of the problem does not lie in the product. Most of the problem relies in the sale.
Yeah, of course.
So anyway, thanks again to Marshall. I really very much appreciate it. Welcome back, of course, to all of our regulars. Thanks for listening. You do make us enthusiastic about getting up and doing the show every Saturday morning. And if you're new to the show, either by accident or if someone has told you about it, try to listen in for the whole hour. We will tell you how to contact us if you would like to. We do have actual day jobs, which I don't often remind everyone of, but we are certified financial planners. We work with a large handful of people on such things as their long-term retirement. We manage money, but we do so much more about getting people organized, whether it's their estates or their educational planning or whatever. And our website, which is VanWeeFinancial.com, which Adam will tell you about in a while, has a wealth of information on it. But not only that, it has a section where you can get any prior programs that you may have missed and play them without commercials, right off of the website. It also has our blog, which is a bunch of topics that we mostly cover here, but not always cover here. And they're sort of succinct and easy to read, so they won't take up all day, but we try to impart some ideas on you day to day. So the website is very important. But most important is that we're going to sit here and talk about us and talk about all the things we do and know and want to, unless you pick up the phone and dial 904-222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Callers always go to the head of the line, and we will discuss what you have on your mind today. We will have a trivia question right after the break, brought to you, as always, by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. But first, back tanned, rested, and ready to go. I made it a point to let him come in a good mood by making sure the market did very well the last couple of days.
And that it did. So apparently while I was gone, something happened about some trade wars. Did you hear about that?
No.
Yeah. Apparently we just put some tariffs on China, and actually the market really shrugged it off on Friday.
Would you care if I put some taxes on it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it's dominating the headlines. That's all you can find.
Simple question that nobody ever asks. What's the purpose of imposing tariffs?
There's several.
For Trump. Now, there's two different answers to that question.
It's a negotiation, obviously.
Exactly. To get rid of tariffs.
Yeah.
Now, when normal country, not ours, imposes them, there are different reasons. But when Trump is imposing them, he is imposing them for the sole purpose of getting rid of them. Now, if that doesn't make sense to the willfully ignorant people who work in the media, too bad.
Yeah, and I actually have a whole thing about that in a minute.
But good.
First, I wanted to say that it was a nice week of trading. We actually saw some pretty nice gains. The NASDAQ was up 2.4%. The S&P was up 1.5%. And the Dow lagged at just 0.8%. And for the year, only the Dow is negative at down just over 1%. So not bad. I mean, considering the kind of the up and down year we've had, the NASDAQ's actually doing quite well. So what's the story with the trade wars? They really kicked into action on Friday, and it was a small amount put on some Chinese goods and more. But the fear is that more are coming, and there is more that are lined up and set to happen in the next few months. But why is it happening? Does Trump really want to start a trade war with China, Canada, Mexico, and any other foreign nation that's our ally? Of course, no. Why is he doing it then? Well, and also, the second question is he realize what it's doing to the stock markets? And the answer to that is yes. He does know what it's doing to the stock markets, but he doesn't care because he knows it's the right thing for the long term. He's doing it to put America in a better negotiating position than we have been, because previous presidents, both Democratic and Republican, have been too weak to do anything about the problems, the situations that we're in. Countries like China get away with stealing our electronics, our intellectual property, our ideas, and there's no repercussions. And Trump wants to stop that. So if he's able to, can you imagine how the market would react to all that?
What I can't imagine is why Silicon Valley doesn't vote for Trump overwhelmingly.
It doesn't make any sense, but no. Then there's a lot of those things out there.
Yeah, that's true, too.
So basically, he's trying to get rid of all these unfair trade deals that have been pitched as a great thing for America in the past, but in reality have been hurting us for a long time. And he's the only one that has the courage to stand up to these foreign leaders and say, look, we have to play fair and equalize the playing field. So that's what's happening right now. It's a little bit painful, not extremely painful, though. I mean, the market hasn't been that bad. As I mentioned, the Dow is the only one that's down this year, and it's just over 1%. NASDAQ's booming. So a little bit of short-term pain, but can you imagine what's going to happen if he gets all this sorted out? It's going to be really good.
It is indeed, and it could last for decades. I've heard two experts, one from the Heritage Foundation, the other one I can't remember, in the last week being interviewed about this sort of thing, and both of them made the stipulation that trade deficits don't matter. Now, the lady from Heritage just glossed right over it and kept talking. She didn't even say why she was saying that. And the guy said, because we send that money over there and they bring it back and spend it here. And I said, well, that's an incomplete sentence. They spend it here buying our assets, our companies, our real estate. Why do you want to sell your country with your own money? That's crazy. We'll talk more about that in a minute as soon as we get back from the break. Do not go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And our trivia question for today, sponsored by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. Call Ken at 904-636-7888. People probably remember hearing something recently about Venezuela. Things are not terribly good in Venezuela.
They're way worse than that.
Hugo Chavez started the ball rolling, and when he died, his hand-picked successor has kept it rolling, and it's rolled downhill so far now that they have a little problem that was very predictable called inflation.
Hyperinflation, actually.
The inflation rate most recently in Venezuela is 40,000%.
Yeah.
Which means something that this morning cost 100 pesos will cost how many pesos tomorrow morning at the same time? That is the trivia question.
It's really sad what's happening down there.
We've seen it before in Zimbabwe, Germany. A lot of people argue that we've been through it here for a while in the 70s. It wasn't hyper. It was just huge. But it's something that is so predictable and so preventable with common sense. The problem with common sense is there's so little of it in the world, and it's very ill distributed.
But you hear what they did to combat that. I think they doubled their minimum wage.
Oh.
Yeah.
We know what Mugabe did. He put 6 zeros on the currency.
Right.
Problem solved.
Yeah. Something like that.
All right. Well, anyway, we've got a lot more to cover in the market wrap. And then one of the major topics was jobs report. So why don't you go ahead and wrap it up? Because this was a very pivotal week for a lot of reasons. And I think it bears watching what it means.
So, yeah, the jobs report came in better than expected. 213,000 jobs in June versus an expected 195,000. And then revisions to prior months added another 33,000. And the headline said it was a mixed report. Why? Well, the unemployment rate rose from 3.8 to 4%. So why did that happen? Well, it turns out that 601,000 people decided to come back into the workforce and look for a job, which means that they haven't necessarily all found one yet. So it looked like the unemployment rate went up, when in reality, the labor force participation rate, the number that everyone's been so concerned about not moving, actually moved up to 62.9, which is a great thing. We're seeing more people in the workforce.
2/10 of a point up in 1 month.
Yeah.
Which barely ever happens.
No, it rarely. In fact, everyone's been expecting it to happen for a long time now. It hasn't happened, so people should be cheering that. But instead, they're saying, oh, it wasn't a good report because the unemployment rate went to 4%. No, that's not the case at all. That's actually great news, really great news. And workers' paychecks are still expanding. They added another 0.2% in June and now up 2.7% in the last year. I'd still like to see that number a little bit higher, but it's a start.
Well, it is for certain segments. The production people now are actually up 4.1 year over year, and they haven't seen increases like that in a long time.
No, very true. And then also, there's still the demographic mix of baby boomers retiring with high salaries and millennials coming into the workforce with low salaries. And so you're getting a little bit of a transfer effect there. But still, I'd like to see that number over 3%.
Yeah, I would too. And you are probably going to get a 3% effect from that, though, when you consider that their withholding charts are lowered now because of
also
the new tax rate.
Yes. So
it does make a difference. Well, looky here. Good morning, Mr. Marshall.
Hey, Marshall.
Gentlemen, you know, I've explained to you several different times while traveling around town things you can do while you're listening to the show.
Yep.
Well, I just spent the first half of the show changing a tire in the parking lot at Chick-fil-A next to the girl who was through the drive-thru saying, sir, your tire is a little low.
Oh, man.
So, things you can do. But well, I heard your comment about the trade deficit. You know, and your very short comment there about them using our money to give them our assets is a really hard thing for a high percentage of the American public to grasp. And when the fake news plays their games around these, I was listening to this lady the other day, and it was kind of like, how bogus was the information coming out of her mouth to defend her position?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's crazy.
Please continue to educate folks on that, because I kind of had the suspect of that. And now I know it positively because I know from True News the right answer to that question.
Marshall, you know that that's only half the story. You know what they do with the other half of the money?
What do they do with the other half of the money?
They buy gold
and treasuries.
You see where that's going?
Yep.
The bigger the gold stash, every ounce of gold that China buys gets them 1 ounce of gold closer to the yuan becoming the standard currency that is now reserved for the dollar. That's where they're going with this thing. So they buy our country and they buy gold with our money, and we condone it. Or we used to. But we don't seem to anymore, and I could not be happier.
So you feel that's a point that is very clear to Donald Trump?
Yep.
Do you think Larry Kudlow is very clear on that point, too?
Why do you think he's become a convert? He thought about it. He thought about it in Trump terms, and he's on board now. I find that very interesting. He was a never tariff guy, big time. But
well, you know,
it's a means to an end.
I look at Donald Trump a little bit like Steve Spurrier.
Yeah.
And I know that some of the old fans can relate to this. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people like to call Steve Spurrier a jerk.
Yep.
And they call him other things as well, but this is a family radio show.
Right? Yeah, I have a different name for him, but go ahead.
But the important thing to Gator fans, he's our jerk.
Yes, and he's a winner.
The important thing to Trump fans, he's our jerk.
Yep. And he is a winner.
Well, so finally somebody stands up and speaks their mind rather than, okay, let's see how the wind is blowing. So thank you. I appreciate the education this morning.
All right. Well, thanks again for last week. I do appreciate your input.
Absolutely.
All right. Take care. Talk to you soon.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Yeah, that's what to do. I'll listen to the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Change a tire.
I think I'll change my tire.
Yeah.
I have to admit, that's a new one.
It's funny you brought up the trade deficit, because that actually was also released this week, and it came in at $43.1 billion versus an expected $43.6 billion. So down a little bit off of expectations, not substantially, and it's the lowest it's been in 19 months.
I think I can explain that. Domestic energy production.
The good news from that report really was that the exports from the U.S. are up 11.7% in the last year. One's talking about that
number.
Yeah,
exactly. And it works both ways. You know, the deficit is a net of export and import. So we produce our own energy of all types now, so we don't import so much of it. And our factories are ramping up, and we're exporting.
And meanwhile, imports are up 8.3%. So what does all that mean? It means that global trade is actually flourishing, and that means that maybe the global economy isn't as bad as people want you to think it is.
You're also going to see a lot of stories. I've started already seeing a couple little headliners now that this job market is probably going to start cooling now because of these tariffs.
Okay.
Yeah. You got a worse problem than tariffs, people. You can't find people to work.
Yeah, well, if people keep coming back into the workforce like they did this month,
601,000 people re-entered the workforce.
Well, and that to some degree, that's why the paychecks aren't going up as fast, because people are coming back in the workforce.
And there's still a lot of slack in there. You know, it used to be 75%, 69.7, now 62.9 or something like that. 70% would be a decent target for the labor force participation rate. That would involve millions of people coming back into the workforce.
I read an article this morning that said that there's still approximately 3 million people that are considered slack right now that could come back in the workforce, which at 211,000 jobs a
month right
being added, that would take a while for all that to get.
That's right off the top. There are a lot more hidden in those numbers, too. There's something to the tune of 40 million Americans who could potentially work who are not doing so.
Right.
So you've got the easiest ones to bring back in. That's 3 million. Then you've got the next tier ones to bring back in. Plus, it's saving us things like Social Security is going up because more people are on payrolls and paying their taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Social Security disability is going down and being funded a little longer. But the big one right now, right off the top, is food stamps. Food stamp usage is down 3 million people. So think what that means every month. Excuse me, SNAP. So you're getting them back to work. It kind of started in, I think it was Alabama and Maine, where they declared that able-bodied men, I think it was just men at first, who did not have anyone to support, who were on food stamps, had to work 20 hours a week or volunteer 20 hours a week, and boom, they had something to the tune of an 80% reduction in food stamps.
Wow.
Nationally, we're doing kind of the same thing right now. But the best incentive to get somebody off of food stamps or SNAP or welfare or anything is a job that pays well.
Mm-hmm.
601,000 people came in. Black unemployment went up last month. Did you see that?
I didn't see that.
So many African-American men are coming into the workforce because they finally believe they can get jobs. A couple hundred thousand of them did get jobs, but even more of them are coming back in. Welcome back, people. This could not make me happier. It's good for families. It's good for taxes. It's good for everybody. And I just want to see it continue. And I'm not limiting that to any one group of people, except perhaps Americans in general. So we're doing the right things. You gotta have a little pain to get a little gain. And I think most of us who do not choose to remain willfully ignorant are understanding that every day it just looks better and better. My view, what it means for the market in the next few months, maybe years, is nothing but blue sky. So we'll talk about some various topics as soon as we get back. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I remind everyone that lines are open, 222-8255. And this segment, sponsored by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance, call Troy at 662-9794. Also, the trivia question is out there, something that costs 100 pesos this morning. At the same time, next morning will cost how many pesos in Venezuela? Now, back to the phones. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
I want to really thank you for last week's segment about the reverse mortgages. I'm 65, and I'm single, and I really don't have anybody to leave my house to. So
perfect.
That sounds, you know, and I've always heard, oh, you don't want to do that. Stay away from that, you know. And then last week's segment really was an eye-opener for me. So
good.
Really very, very helpful.
You made my day, and you know Marshall's listening, so you made his too.
Tell Mr. Marshall thank you, because I was one of those people that, you know, just heard horror stories, and, you know, and everybody said, oh, that's the last thing you want to do, you know. That's, you know, like filing bankruptcy. You know, that's the last resort.
You know, it truly was, too. When it came out, it was viewed by not only people, bankers, and professional financial planners. It was viewed as a last resort. How can I save this situation from going under? No longer. It might be used once in a while for that, but that's not the purpose of them anymore.
Sure. Very good.
But, are you going to follow up and do something about it?
Well, not right away. I'm only 65, mm-hmm. and I'm thinking maybe down the road.
Yeah, but at least you know it's an option.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. But it's definitely an advantage to be older. Your payout will be better every year you can wait.
That's true.
That's what I was thinking. So, you know, as long as I'm doing fine right now, you know, there's no reason to rush out and do one.
Well, we will put a link on our website, both to Marshall and to the website where the best information is available, which I can never remember for sure. My wife will probably send it to me again. I think it's called Reverse Mortgage funding or something.
RMF,
mortgage funding.
Mm-hmm.
And you can learn a lot more. But the single hardest part, and I'm sure it's just a bear for Marshall to fight every day, is that preconceived notion that everyone has that these are bad.
Yeah. Sorry, RMF is Marshall's company. That's on there. You can find a lot of good information.
Maybe reverse funding. In fact, I think they link to it. So
yeah.
RMS is a well-known reverse mortgage specialist company. So I'm really happy to hear it. Did you want to take a shot at our trivia while you're here?
Well, actually, I had another question for you.
Oh, well, sure.
If I could.
Ask away.
Could I ask you about the pros and cons of doing covered calls?
Sure.
I'm very familiar with the procedure and everything.
Yep.
And I'd just like to hear your guys' opinion.
Well, I'll do the cons from our standpoint. We're not allowed to. That's the con. As CFPs, we're not allowed to do.
That's not exactly
well,
true.
We have chosen to not allow ourselves
right.
to do that.
Right.
We'll put it that way.
You can trade options, but we choose not to.
Right. And it requires a great deal of concentration. It requires manpower, and it increases the risk. And therefore, we've just avoided it on general principles.
However,
that said, I love them, and Adam will give you the upside.
Yeah. If you're going to trade options, covered calls is the way to go. Because there is minimal risk. You basically are just charging rent on stocks that you own. And so it can increase your return. It can also limit your upside, but it will, if the stock is staying relatively stable, it will increase your return. And it's a fantastic way to take a low risk approach to options trading.
And you can get income in an environment where it's not producing any income.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's what most people use for.
Yep.
If you want to know the difference between a covered call and all the other options, and for those of you out there who don't know much about options, we'll talk about those one day. But if you really want to know the difference, the covered call is the only thing allowed by law that you can do in an IRA. The reason for that is the government believes that the level of risk is intolerable for options in an IRA, except covered calls, where the risk level is tolerable and it's okay to use it. You have to get approved by your custodian to do so, but that tells you it's in a class all by itself in the world of options using the covered call.
And the big point around that is the limited downside risk.
Exactly.
Whereas on a lot of option strategies, there is a potential for huge to infinite downside risk.
Mm-hmm. Nobody cares on the upside risk, of course,
right,
but
right.
on the downside, Uncle Sam's on it, and they make darn sure. So, yeah, we absolutely love them.
Okay, great. Well, thank you. And that's,
sure.
That's very, very interesting. I didn't know you couldn't do it inside of an IRA other than the covered calls.
Yep. And it's all a study in risk, like so many
good.
Parts of our job. Now, anyway, did you want to take a shot at the trivia? Something cost 100 pesos this morning. How much will it cost tomorrow morning in Venezuela?
This is going to sound crazy. I tried to do the math, and I'm probably way off, but I'm going to take a shot of around 209 pesos, 209 and a half.
Ding, 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 ding.
Really?
We have a winner.
Nice. Good job.
209. So right now, what is it? It's about 10:40, so I'll pay you 100 pesos tomorrow or 209 or 100 pesos Ooh. Today or 209 tomorrow at the same time. Is that
That's
nuts
crazy.
Or what?
Oh, my God.
It's crazy.
I'd be wiped out in 3 weeks.
Yeah. Most of them would.
I'd be doing a reverse mortgage next month. And even that would go, probably.
Well, they said in Zimbabwe when this was going on that people would get up real early in the morning and go shopping. That was the good news. The bad news was when they got there was nothing on the shelf to buy.
And that's what's happening in Venezuela.
That's
too.
Exactly. You know, they talk about the toilet paper shortage in Venezuela now. Is that important? Sure, but they got nothing to eat. The average Venezuelan loses 17 pounds a year.
Oh, my God.
There's no food.
Yep.
This is nuts, isn't it?
It's sad.
Yeah.
It is really sad.
Something's got to give.
People out there still think that these communist regimes work. You know?
Well,
look at what Castro did to Cuba.
Look what happened in New York City this week.
Yeah.
If the people could just spend a couple of weeks in Venezuela, they might get a little different view of capitalism.
But yeah.
Not yet. Well, all right, I'm about to put you on hold, and we'll get your address, and we'll ship you a little something from Ken Bales.
Sounds great. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you for the great job you guys do every week. I listen all the time.
Oh, thank you. We love hearing it, and we appreciate it.
All right. Have a great day today.
Thank you.
So I just listened to this Planet Money podcast about Venezuela. It was excellent, as it always is. They have a great product. But the minimum wage in Venezuela, I think, is now $15 an hour or something like that. And it is also the median wage. So what that means is that the minimum wage is also basically the average wage. So everyone is making the minimum wage. And if you work a traditional 40-hour work week on that minimum wage, what did they say? You have to work something like 2.6 days to buy an egg. And that's today. Tomorrow it'll be higher. It'll be more hours that you need to work to buy one egg, which is not enough to feed even yourself, much less an entire family.
So, you know the good news.
What's that?
There aren't any eggs.
That's true. You can't get them. So,
yeah. I would rather not buy an egg tomorrow at 100% more than to not buy one today. Think how much you save.
Yeah. And then they also look at it in terms of the cheapest thing that you can afford to buy right now and how long you would have to work to buy it. And it turned out that there, it was some plant that they can buy. But if you work a whole week and you spend all of your money buying that one plant, it's still not enough to meet the minimum basic calorie requirements for your family. I mean, it's just really sad what's happening down there. People are starving in the streets.
And not all of them. Some people are living it up big time.
Right.
Which always happens in situations like that. I don't know what it's going to take, people. I really don't know. You know, Venezuela is one of the richest countries in the world if you just base it on untapped petroleum reserves.
Yeah.
Theirs are as big as Saudi Arabia, roughly. And they could be rolling in dough if only they could get control of what's going on there. I am not smart enough, knowledgeable enough, or whatever, to understand what it would take to overthrow what's going on. All I know is they better do it darn fast because people are dying and it's nuts. All right, when we come back, I'm going to take a look at my prediction from a while back about a postcard tax form. And I'm going to grade myself on what I did for my prediction. I think you'll like it. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after the break. This is the Van Way Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Way Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Way.
And I'm Adam Van Way.
And we just heard back from Marshall, and Adam has an update on what we were trying to find out.
Yeah, the site we were trying to think of, RMF is who Marshall works for. It's a reverse mortgage company. They're one of the big ones. They're quite good reputation. But the industry education site is reversemortgage.org. So if you're looking for more information about that, go to reversemortgage.org.
All right. And that, I promise you, will open your eyes a little bit. All right, it was a few months ago, probably about a year ago, actually, thinking about it, based on what's happened, time does fly, when you kept seeing Paul Ryan and company walking around with this little postcard and talking about tax changes and simplification. And we're going to put your taxes on a postcard. And I spent considerable time poo-pooing it. And I had a lot of reasons why. First off, we have a little small form. It's called the 1040 EZ. There are a handful of people who can actually use it. First, you can't have any dependents, whether children or other. So they're out. And then there's I got a list about 20 long about people who can't use the 1040 EZ. So then a few months ago, they came out with a concept of the 1040 SR, which is senior, and it was going to be for people 65 and over only. And, yeah, that didn't do much for me either, because basically you haven't changed anybody's life to think of. So this week was the big week where they came out, not the final form, but they came out with the sample form. I thought I'd take a look at it. So you remember probably for years that politicians have touted tax simplification, one of their stated reform goals. Most of them claim you'd be able to file your income tax quote on a postcard, and for every year they said that, I have been all over them. Well, nothing's final yet, but preliminarily, they have it out. So I took a look at it. One of my first questions was very simply, do people still file paper tax returns? I don't know anybody who does that. Do you?
Well, there are certain situations where they make you.
Yeah, there's a few.
Amended, I believe, have to be filed.
But for years and years, the IRS has encouraged Americans to file their annual obligations electronically, and most of us have been doing that for a long time. So file size, when you're filing electronically, is pretty much an irrelevant thing. What matters to us is complexity of completing that form. For the few people who still send paper to the IRS, my first question is very simple. Do you want your 1040 to be put in an envelope or just mailed as is with your name, address, social security number, and signature on it? Now, they may, this may be a little academic or whatever, but it seems to me that a postcard in an envelope ceases to be a postcard. Yeah, maybe it's just me.
I think they're really looking at the size of the form.
Well, yeah, you're going to need better reading glasses, too, by the time they compress this thing down. So what are you actually going to find? Well, currently the 1040 is 2 pages long on one side. It's going to be a two-sided half-page form, which means it is essentially half size, right? Literally and figuratively. More than half of the 78 current line items will be cut from the new 1040. Is that a good start? Well, maybe. So let's look back and remind ourselves of a couple of things that happened in the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017. The first thing was the new standard deduction that's large enough that many people who used to itemize no longer do so. And we've actually dealt with that in our client base quite a bit. And frankly, I could argue either way. The larger families are being punished by the lack of the exemption. But, you know, it's complicated, but that's what it is, and it doesn't bear further discussion. So a lot of people are not going to be itemizing. All right, that's good. But we also discovered in the 2017 law that there was added complexity for a lot of taxpayers. Well, what's going to happen to them? Are they going to use a postcard size form? I don't think so. But in the congressional zeal to make the form small, they deleted certain items off the form. A couple of these were the what we call above the line deductions that reduce your adjusted gross income, which is transferred over to page 2 to get your taxable income. Above-the-line deductions are the favored deductions of all of us who understand taxes a bit. Well, they took off a couple of lines, one for student loan interest and one for teaching supplies. Well, that doesn't mean they took them away. It means they took the line item away. What are you going to do if you are able to claim any of these? Well, not to worry. There are 6 accompanying worksheets with your half-page form. And you will have to choose all or some of them to also stuff into your envelope. But we're not done yet. What about the other forms of income, the ones that are listed below the standard wages, salaries, and tips, Social Security benefits, interest, dividends, and retirement income? Never fear. There are also supplementary forms and schedules for those forms of income, which will have to be added to your little postcard form and stuffed in your envelope with your other stuff. What are the forms of other income? Here's a few. Business income, capital gains, sub-S business income, sole proprietorship income, child care tax credits, retirement savings tax credits, retirement savings contributions. The new form that's intended to replace the 1040 and the 1040A and the 1040EZ apparently doesn't do much about complexity. It just adds other paper. Further, more taxpayers are expected to file paper returns, which will delay their own refunds because IRS processes the electronic refunds faster, which is a little something they did to try to get everybody to use them, which I thought was actually pretty smart. So what's the bottom line? I graded myself, and after I looked over the whole thing, I gave myself a B+. We're calling the postcard form mostly smoke and mirrors. For some taxpayers with less complexity, many will be able to use the higher standard deduction and the shorter form, but that wasn't really a result of the form. That was a result of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. So you got to give credit where credit's due. In short, I fail to see any benefit whatsoever from the postcard-sized tax form. Come to think of it, I'm changing my grade to A-.
So you're a big fan of the form?
I'm trying to decide whether I can say hell no on radio. It's look over there, politicians.
Yeah, always.
And they're always doing that. They deflect. They don't want to talk about the truth, so they give you something to stare at, the pretty lights or the jewelry or whatever. You're supposed to stare at that and decide that something else isn't happening or that it's all good or whatever it was.
The funny thing is they're doing it about an issue that is the tax cuts, which were were positive to almost everybody in the United States outside of a few high income people in high tax states. But why do they feel the need to do anything about that?
If I wanted to do a shiny object, that would have been it. I wouldn't deflect from that. I would point to it.
None of those people are going to be eligible for this postcard form anyway, so who cares? It doesn't make any sense.
Do you want to say a few words about market indices and...
I don't think we have time. We're almost out of time, but what I will do is just say that we do have day jobs. And if you would like to find us doing those day jobs, we're fee-only financial planners. We are fiduciaries, and we are located in Jacksonville Beach. We're right off the Marsh Landing Parkway exit of Butler, so easy to get to from all points in the city. Don't let the fact that we're at the beach keep you from coming to see us.
No, that should be an inducement.
Yeah, because you can go out and check out the surf while you're out there or get a great meal. But anyways, if you want to find us, go to our website, vanweefinancial.com, click book a meeting, and you can schedule it with us. You don't even have to call. Very easy to do, and we're not going to promise that we're going to be a fit to do business with you, but we'll sit down for an hour, we'll discuss it, and we'll figure that out. And if we are, great. If not, great. I promise you, you will leave that office knowing more than when you came in.
And there is no charge.
Never.
How about that? Well, never for the first meeting.
Yeah.
We got to make that clear. Factory activity is accelerating. Construction spending is up. Nobody should be surprised. Don't listen to the willfully ignorant media. Things are good out there, folks. It's been a good July. It's been a good year. The Dow is down a little bit. Everything else is up a little bit, which leads me to the phone caller from last week who requested that we do an explanation of market indices, pros and cons, and so on. And I said it would either be this week or next week. It is bleeding into next week, but I promise you, Adam will have a thorough, in-depth version of market indices, what they're good for.
I have it done. We just didn't get to it.
Just didn't get to it. Okay. We know that 40,000% inflation in Venezuela has got to be stopped. Somebody please tell me how next week. All right. Thanks for listening. We'll be back same time. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.